The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Fuego's in the Heights. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Good like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you miss the first hour, lots of good stuff. We are out here at Fuego's Saloon.
And we'll be here on Monday again. This is our home for the long weekend.
Yeah. I could just sit here and drink and pass out.
It could work.
And wake up Monday. It's 817 Durham Drive, so it's at Durham and right off of Washington. They got $5 mules all day. They have 26 beers on tap, 30 big screen TVs throughout the bar, and drink specials at free shots every time the Astros score.
Free shots every time
That's what it says.
Score.
It says drink specials, free shots every time the Astros score.
What?
You guys are going to be dead tonight because the Astros are going to score about 12
that
runs.
That can't be real. We got to ask somebody that's a real deal.
Where's Jordan? Where's Jordan? He was supposed to be.
Ask him. He looks like a manager around here.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the bar manager. Hey, come over here, Matt. Do we have a headset for Matt? Where are you at? Come on. We got a headset for this guy?
We're going to ask you an easy question.
We just read this, and it doesn't sound true. So I'm going to ask you. It says here, free shot every time the Astros score tonight.
Now, free is not what we're supposed to say, but there are jello shots that will be accidentally handed out and fall from the skies every time the Astros score.
Right.
So, yes.
They're not free, but they'll be out. And
we have to say drink specials.
Drink specials.
Right. But they'll be there.
Gelatin.
And if you want to take one when the Astros score,
they are free for
be
you
sitting
to grab.
Around. Okay. Okay.
They will be available readily.
How about this? If they take it, it won't be stealing.
Exactly.
That's what we need to know.
That's how we'll do it. Is that okay, Lawyer Dave? Is it legally? Am I okay with that?
We trade their time. You trade your time for jello shots here.
Okay.
That makes
sense. So it's like you're paying for it with your life.
It's like you're working the kitchen.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's going to be
liquid
some
liquid kitchen.
You should have just said 1 cent.
1 cent. 1 penny jello shots
Make people come out here with a roll of pennies and hammer one down.
Do not bring
the table.
A roll of pennies here. I will give you 99 back if you give me a dollar.
All right. Well, there you go. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So, you guys are going to be lit tonight at this place. I'm telling you. 12 to 2. That's what I'm calling. So that means you'll get 12 jello shots that you're not stealing.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's a good deal.
All right, let's go through the NFL lines for Sunday. And we will start off with your Houston Texans, who are now under 10. They're at -9.5. I think they are going to put a complete butt-whipping on the Browns. I think it's going to be a lot like the Titans game. And I will take the Texans, especially inside of 10.
Yeah, I actually would have taken the Browns at 10 or more. Under 10, it's a no play for me, but I can't in good conscience take the Browns. I told you last week I'm pretty much done with the Browns after they lost to the Jets. I just don't see many games on the schedule that I'm going to pick them anymore. But double digits would have been nice, but I'm not going to take them.
Even
under
then, I'm not sure what number you could give me to take the Browns in this game. But inside of 10, I love the Texans here to get well, and I think Watson has a field day. He kind of gives him a little bleep you for not drafting him and saying thank you for putting me here instead of there. And I think the Texans' defense will be better. I think they'll adjust to not having Watt and Merciless and not have to do it after the first series of a game.
Right.
So I like the Texans a lot here. I am playing this, actually. Jets +9.5 at home against your beloved Patriots. It's another one that out when it was 10.5, I was feeling really good about the Jets. Mm-hmm. 9.5, not so much, but I would not give up 9.5 points with the Patriots right now.
I can't do it either. I'm not going the other way, but I can't give up those points.
But if you have to pick one for your pool, I'm taking the Jets. Falcons minus 13 at home against the Dolphins. Another one, that's too many points. But if you're playing in a pick'em thing, I can't. I don't think the Dolphins could cover 13.
I don't either.
This team.
I actually the Falcons are a play for me. I played them at 11.5, not 13. But
boy, they opened at 9. I wish I'd have got it at that.
Yeah, I think the Falcons coming off a bye week are just going to roll. Their guys are starting to get healthy, and the Dolphins, everything they've got going on right now, they are a total mess.
Yeah, I agree. But if they do some coke before the game, it may change everything.
I think that the coke culture in Miami is going downhill right now. It's not going to work.
Lions plus 4 at the Saints, and I think this number was kind of low because of the uncertainty around Matt Stafford. If Matt Stafford's in the game, I'm taking the Lions, and I'm not thinking twice about it.
Yeah,
it looks like he's going to play.
I'm probably staying away from this because the last couple times I faded the Saints, they burned me, and I don't know that I want to pick against them at home, but if gun to head, I had to pick a side, I'd be on the Lions with you.
Packers minus 3 at the Vikings. I was kind of hoping this it opened at 4. If this number had been closer to 5, I think I might take the Vikings. But as it stands at 3, I think I'd take the Packers.
The Packers, not a great road team.
No.
But 3's a good enough number that I'd play the Packers.
Bears getting 6.5 at the Ravens. And this is another one where the number is so important. I think, the Bears are not awful. If this were 7.5, I'm taking the Bears. At 6.5, I'd probably take the Ravens. I think that 7 number is right where it should be.
Yeah, at 6.5, I'm with you. I'm on the Ravens. Just a rookie quarterback against that team, that's the way I would pull.
Redskins minus 11 at home to the 49ers. Give me every bit of the 49ers
I'm
here.
With you
this
all
is
day.
An actual play for me.
Same here. 49ers, I don't think they'll win.
No.
But they've kept things close since week one, since they got blown out by the Panthers. Everything else has been really close, and they're trying their damnedest. And Kyle Shanahan's got these guys believing in themselves. They're playing better defensively. Brian Hoyer's not a total toad.
No.
I'll take the 49ers plus 11 all day.
And the other thing about this, the reason I like this play so much, is they've done this a couple times where they've been down late and scored a bunch of touchdowns to cover.
Yep.
And I could easily see that happening. Jaguars minus 2.5 at home against the Rams of L.A.
Jaguars plus 2.5?
Minus 2.5.
Minus, oh.
Started pick 'em now, Jags minus 2.5.
I'd like that extra half point, and I'd take the Rams.
Yeah, 3, I'd be all over the Rams.
But I don't even know if I would them, because I'm thinking about that secondary going against Jared Goff, and I can't think of a lot of good things that can happen with that
recipe. Think of a lot of good things that's going to happen with Blake Bortles if he has to start throwing the ball against that Rams defense.
That's true.
Either.
And the Rams are good against the run. I mean, they got a big body right there in the middle that clogs a lot of stuff up. It may not be easy running for the Jags. That'll be a good game.
Yeah, I think that's when. All right, just a little what are the odds Friday here. What are the odds before the season we would have sat here and said with a straight face, Rams-Jaguars is going to be a good game?
Can't even guess what the odds are, but they're low.
Yeah, but that's one I want to keep an eye on, too. So Buccaneers minus 1.5 at Arizona. Man, I don't know what to make of the Cardinals. But I think at home,
I'm not giving points on the road with the Bucs. No, thanks.
I think I take the Cardinals here.
Yeah, I'm with you.
This is a game that I've been giving a lot of thought all week long to, and I will probably play it Sunday afternoon at some point. Steelers getting 4 from the Chiefs. And, you know, I know I bet against the Chiefs last week. I believe in the Chiefs. I think they're very good. And the Steelers coming off, Ben's not going to throw 5 picks. And I think that these teams are a lot closer than 4 points. And I think the Steelers play well this week, especially they played so poorly last week. I think they bounce back. At some point, the Chiefs are going to have a little bit of a hiccup. I don't think the Steelers are going to win the game, but I think I could see this being 24-21 or 28-27, somewhere in that range. I think I'll take the Steelers and take the 4 points.
Yeah, I'm not into it. I think the Chiefs are the best team in the league. I don't think the Steelers are as crappy as they've been, though. So
yeah, that's why I don't have. I mean, that number is so perfect because it's about where I think it's going to land.
Yeah,
but in that case, I'll take the team where I'm getting the points. Chargers, Raiders, nothing on the board yet right now, I guess because of the Derek Carr situation.
Well, I think also because they don't know where it's going to be played.
Yeah, that's such a weird situation up there. Boy, there have been a lot of sporting events affected by all this.
You know what? One that I said I'm not going to play anything tonight, Washington State at Cal. I'm going to go under 55 on that because I just know like the air there is really bad right now. I don't think there's going to be a lot of throwing the ball around. I think they're going to try to run that clock and get out of there as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Even a Mike Leach team. So I'll go under 55 in that game.
Okay. And I'm on Clemson and the over in that game. Giants plus 11.5 at the Broncos. I'm not giving 11.5, but I can't bet the Giants right now. They're just a wreck.
I think I will give 11.5.
Yeah.
I just think the Broncos can do what they want in this game. The Giants offensively have literally nothing at this point. They're down to, you know, the guys that they thought were going to be their 3 and 4 wide receivers at the beginning of the season are now their starters. They haven't been able to run the ball all year. They can't protect Eli Manning.
Other than that, they're pretty good, though.
Well, yeah. Other than that, they've got a nice tight end. But then you think about all that and then going up against the Broncos defense that is just, I mean, world class.
Right.
I see it being a really ugly day for the Giants. I think they're going to have multiple turnovers. I think Broncos are going to get a lot of cheap points because it's not like the Broncos are fantastic on offense either. But I think they're going to score some points off turnovers.
All right. That's your NFL, and we're going to take a quick break. But first, you're going to tell the people about?
I don't know.
Texas Star Foods.
Oh, yes. My guys over at Texas Star Grills. This is it's a great time to get in on this because they've got the fall sale going right now, guys. If you haven't been out to see Texas Star Grills, I don't know what you're waiting on. They've got all the great brands. They've got the Traeger, Weber, Kamado Joe, Sabre, Napoleon, Green Mountain. I got a Pits and Spits from there. I've got one of the pellet grills where you can basically just set the timer on it, set the temperature, and walk away. It makes smoking meat so much easier than it used to be. It's really out of this world. Green Mountain offers a wood pellet grill with temperature control from 150 to 500. You can control it with Wi-Fi and monitor the internal temperature of the meat. It's easy to know when your brisket's ready to be pulled off the grill. Always free delivery and assembly. I know because they came out to my house and assembled my grill for me right there on the spot. They've got tons of spices, sauces, rubs. They even sell incredible meat in their store. Get a grill that's going to last and save big during this fall grill sale. Stop by the Texas Star Grill Shop located at Shepherd and 59 in Houston, and there's one on Louetta right in the Champions area there in spring. TexasGrillShop.com. It's Texas Star Grill Shop. We have your...
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Fuego's in the Heights, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you wish to text the show. So yes, what is a good site to learn how to gamble? Odds and money line confuse me. You know what? There's a great audiobook that some guy named A.J. Hoffman did with a little help from some guy named Fred Fowler. Go to GotMediaPublishing.com or go to HoustonSportsAndStuff.com and click on that, and it will explain everything to you. It is a beginner's guide. It's really good. People have it's about 2 hours, and you'll know everything you need to know. It's got all the basics for you. And then we get into some more advanced stuff later on in it. But we start you off with the basics. It's a very good audiobook. It holds up very well.
I think it's like, what is it, like 10 bucks,
12
bucks?
It's like 12 bucks is, yeah, all it is. It's well worth it. And you can sit and listen to it in the gym while you're working out. You can listen to it in your car when the Blitz isn't on. You know, you don't want to do it while the Blitz is on because that would be communism. But basically it's 2 hours, and we did that a couple years ago. I listen back every now and then when I need to remind myself that I'm doing things wrong, and it's still very, very, very good. Lamont asked, if Texans get up huge on the Browns by halftime, would you pull Watson? And you know, I know you responded to him that, you know, you would wait till midway through the fourth, which is kind of what they did against the Titans. But Clowney, you would pull as soon as it feels safe. When has he ever done that, though?
He doesn't.
I know.
But I'm just telling you what I would
do.
No,
like, that's what I would do, too.
I understand, like, the idea of pulling Watson because he's so important to your offense, but he's still a rookie quarterback that needs reps. Yeah, I mean,
he needs to see things.
Yeah.
He needs to get out on the field and see what defenses are doing to him, even the Browns.
And if he gets hurt, you know, well, it sucks, but I can't fault you for if you really want to win something this year, you need that guy to get reps. Clowney, on the other hand, I'm telling
you, he's last man standing back there.
If you're up by 17 points in the second half, he's off the field for me.
Yeah,
I mean, and if it gets back into a one score game, I'll put him back out there.
Yeah,
but that guy is, I mean, he's probably the guy you can least afford to lose right now, knowing that Watt and Merciless are gone for the year.
Yeah,
he's also the guy with the biggest injury history on that team.
Injuries are not always something you can predict or control. But the way Watson avoids contact, except when he's tackling guys after a fumble,
yeah.
I think he's going to hold up pretty well. It's going to take. He's got just such good instincts with the football about when to get down, and the times he's taking big hits, he didn't see the guy coming in the pocket.
Yeah,
but when he's running the ball, he gets out of bounds. He gets down. He avoids getting really hit hard, and I like that. I mean,
so far that's sort of what separates him from Bob Griffin.
Oh yeah,
because that was a big problem Bob Griffin had was. He didn't know when to get out of bounds. He didn't know when to slide. And
right.
Now, granted, they're two different kinds of athletes. Robert Griffin had, I mean, he's one of the fastest quarterbacks that's ever played this game.
Yeah, he had what they called in Spaceball ludicrous speed.
Yeah, I call it track speed. And he's one of the few guys that's ever played quarterback at the NFL level that had track speed. And Deshaun Watson's, I mean, he's a mobile quarterback, obviously, but didn't have speed like that. But sometimes maybe it's a bad thing. You rely too much on that speed. And you got to remember, there's a lot of guys in the NFL. A lot of safeties have track speed in the NFL.
Yeah.
And if they catch up with you, it ain't good.
And what I like about Watson is he's a passer first. He uses his running ability to elude the rush and occasionally take off running. And they do have some running plays designed for him. But for the most part, he does a lot of it organically when he extends a play. And he's really good about not getting hit hard. And that's one of the things that's important. It reminds me a lot of Aaron Rodgers when he first started playing, that in his elusiveness. I'm not comparing him as a quarterback, but Aaron Rodgers was really good at doing the same thing and not getting hit hard. Now, he still got hit pretty hard because he's sort of a slight guy, but he does have that pocket presence and awareness on the field of where players are. And if you have that, you're probably going to be able to get through a season without getting hurt, unless you never know when an Achilles is going to go, or you're going to have a non-contact injury like Teddy Bridgewater did. Just where your knee says, "Okay, bleep you, dude, I'm done."
Right.
Those kind of things you can't control. That was sort of what happened to Mariota last year, if I recall. His injury didn't look bad on the field, and all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, he's done."
Yeah.
So hopefully he can play a full season, because that's the one thing about if you're going to be a great quarterback, you got to be out there every week.
Yeah.
And we always talk.
And we also know that what the Texans have behind him isn't good enough.
No. What the Texans...
And he might be good enough to get you through a game or two.
Okay, let me ask you.
But if you have hopes for doing anything this season, you have hopes for winning playoff games, you're not winning playoff games with Tom Savage.
What would the line be if Tom Savage were the starting quarterback? Maybe I should ask RJ that. How much Deshaun Watson actually means.
I mean, that's a good...
I'm just curious.
I'm guessing it would probably... And a lot of it would depend on what Tom Savage had done up to this point.
Right, which would have been nothing because we know what he is.
But if the Texans, assuming they were still 2-3 coming into this game, I would say it's probably about 7.5.
Okay. That seems about right.
I just think there's a lot of excitement about this team because of that one guy.
Yeah, and there should be. But ordinarily, a great quarterback is, 6 points? Like Peyton Manning was worth 6 points.
Yeah.
So... we are out here at Fuego Saloon, 817 Durham Drive, just off Washington.
What'd you do, order some queso when I wasn't paying attention?
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome to some. You're about to have barbecue.
I'm going to have to take a look. Well, that's tomorrow, Fred. I got to eat something between now and tomorrow.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm just sitting here realizing, man, I had like half a sandwich at lunch today is all I've had, so I better eat something.
Okay.
And I'm not going to be able to eat until after the game tonight. So.
Oh, because you're going to be too busy working.
I'm going to be working. I'm going to be working all weekend.
Grinding your ass off.
That's right.
I like that about you.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yep.
But come on out here.
That's why you go to the management retreats, though.
Well.
That's why you make the big bucks and you get to eat at Ginger House or whatever the hell it's called.
Well.
Yeah. What'd you have?
I had.
Caviar?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I had the. What did I have? Oh, I had a
Escargot.
House Special Lo Mein.
Oh, okay.
Which was pretty good.
Okay.
That was between
What do you have, John?
What did I have?
You had a lot of sushi. You had like four different types
of sushi. Yeah, nigiri and sushi, and then Clifford ordered a bunch of stuff for the table as well.
So who's Clifford?
Clifford Pugh. He's in charge of Culture Map Houston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, John, you weren't mindful of how much you were spending on the bill. You were just like, I'm going to rack it up here.
No, the pieces weren't that much. It was like $2 a piece.
Okay. That's not
it was
bad.
Actually pretty affordable. Like mine was $12 plate, I think, maybe 14.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Now, alcohol
was drinks.
Well, I don't know. I didn't.
How many drinks did you have, John?
I just had one. And I think Graham ordered a bottle of wine and I had just a glass of wine as well.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that would have been Graham's second bottle of wine because they were sharing one when we got there.
How is Graham as a wine orderer? Does he go upscale or is he budget conscious?
No, I think he goes upscale. He's pretty he's pretty picky when it comes to his wine, so
he seems like a wine snob to me.
Yeah, he's a wine snob. He's a bigger wine, well, he's as big a wine snob as we are beer snobs.
Okay.
So, that ought to tell you. All right, guys. I got to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers. And, man, if you're in the market for a mattress this weekend, only one place to go. Go see Yuval. Go see Lax. Tell them you're a blitzer. Tell them you need a new mattress. Because you're when you walk in, you're saving 50% off of what you would save if you went to a retail store because they're making the mattresses right there and selling them directly to you. But how about this? You need a mattress now? Maybe you're having to get new beds for your house because of the storm. You're going to save 25% more off of that when you visit the showroom. This is only for the showroom. All mattress sets, any type, including luxury, any memory foam options, just as long as it's in the showroom, 25% off the factory price. And that's already 50% off the retail price. Now you get another 25%. I'm not good at math, but that's a lot. And Texas Mattress Makers is Houston strong all day, night, and long. You're going to get the best in handcrafted, custom-fitted beds. You're going to be doing business with people who are helping the community. And you're still raising that money for the Houston Children's Charity to get beds for kids who lost theirs during the storm. And these beds are high quality, man. I'm telling you, I've got two of them in my place. They both are fantastic. And I sleep so much better thanks to Texas Mattress Makers. Go by and tell them you're a blitzer, man. They will take care of you. They're at 4619 Navigation off the corner of Lockwood Navigation off I-10 East. Make sure you tell them I told you to go by there. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Fuego's in the Heights. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, live here at Fuego's Saloon, 817 Durham Drive off Washington. Come on by, stick around for the game. $5 mules, 26 beers on tap, 30 big screen TVs throughout the bar. Drink specials every time the Astros score, which basically they'll be out there and you wouldn't be stealing if you take one.
Yes.
All right, you know what that music means?
Less than a penny.
Yeah. I don't know the exact price, but rhymes with flea. I don't know. Guys, let's go to RJ Bell, our good friend from pregame.com. And if you missed our show on Tuesday night on the network, one of our best ones yet. A lot of great response. RJ, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, and listen, I think the feedback I've gotten that you caused me to lose my first game, I think they're right, Fred. I mean, I kind of put it out there for debate, and the feedback was that Fred kind of led me astray.
Now, last week, you jabbed at me about the Jets-Jags game that you tried to warn me on. Should I jab you about the Texans this week?
Oh, because of the Dolphins? Yeah, that you're right. Oh, man, I was off on it. It's funny, though, if you actually look at the action coming in on Atlanta in this game, it just strikes you of the amount of pessimism there is about this Dolphins. I just thought, Castle or no Castle, the market would properly price that. You know, when you have a really extreme single factor in an NFL game, you can trust typically the market to properly price everything else within reason, you know, half point here or there. And that big factor, you know, a three-point factor, let's say the market doesn't see, that's sometimes a single factor play. Now, to me, that only happens 5 or 6 times a year. I thought that was the case, but obviously Castle wasn't properly valued, you know, or the downgrade wasn't proper. I do think we have a single factor game this week with the Giants. I don't think you can play it because the line's so high, but the cluster injuries for the Giants, it's one thing to go from first string to second string, but if you have three receivers out there and 1, 2, 3, and 4 are out and you're going to 5, 6, and 7, well, oftentimes you're signing people off the street that don't even know the offense. I think the Giants are going to really struggle to score, but I don't want to lay doubles, so I'm going to look at the team total, and it's a sophisticated bet, but come Sunday, you can actually bet the over-under on specific teams. I'm going to look to go under for the Giants.
You know, Fred and I were talking about this with the Texans this week. What do you think the Texans' number would be against Cleveland if they were 2-3 like they are now, but Tom Savage was still the starter?
You know, my guess is that
Deshaun Watson that buzz is changing the number that the Texans are getting.
Yes, for sure. I mean, listen, I've worked with you guys for more than a few years now. The enthusiasm I'm hearing from Fred on our SB Nation show, I would say, is 3x any enthusiasm I've heard in all these years. Would that feel fair, Fred?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and here's a savvy sports guy, right? You know, the casual fan gets caught up in the big name and he's a winner and, you know, all that stuff. But if you have a sophisticated guy like Fred feeling it, I don't know. Is it even 4 points now? I mean, it's like, that seems crazy, but my guess is it's, you know, more than a field goal.
Well, is Kevin Hogan really a 3-point upgrade over Deshaun Kizer? Because I would say that Deshaun Watson is more of an upgrade over Tom Savage than Kevin Hogan is.
Well, listen, here's the question. It's not how good Hogan is, right? We don't even know. But it's how bad Kizer has been. If you look at his first 5 games, there's not a single quarterback this century that's had a worse quarterback rating than Kizer. So Joey Harrington, Jamarcus Russell, Ryan Leaf, all those quarterbacks played a bunch of games, you know, more than a few games, and none of them are as bad as Kizer statistically. So it strikes me that if we just assume Hogan is an average NFL backup, then it's a big upgrade. So I think 3 is a fair number. I mean, maybe it's 2, but that's one of the reasons I like Cleveland a good bit. You've got a Houston team laying 10. They haven't laid 10 since 2013. So this team doesn't know how to lay big numbers. It doesn't have the experience. Well, what's the danger of that? Well, it's a distraction. It's the idea of, oh, yeah, we can maybe go out tonight. You know, typically I don't go out Tuesday, but, hey, we're double-digit favorites. We're fine. We got Deshaun. And then you add that up with the distraction factor of J.J. Watt being out. And I know that, you know, sharper people, you know, and you said this, Fred, is Clowney can step in and do some stuff in that position, and maybe it's not as bad as it seems. But just the idea of the spiritual leader, the face of the franchise, and talk I heard, and again, I don't know if this has been confirmed because it was early, that this could extend into next season. What are you guys hearing on that?
Yeah, that I have heard that it could be something that keeps him out until next season. And it certainly could be career-altering too. So,
yeah, so, I mean, now you've got not only this season, but at least a question mark, and let's all hope for the best because obviously a very good man and also a wonderful player. But to me, if you're a little distracted because of that, you look and say, but no big deal because we're laying 10, but you're new to it, and Hogan's an upgrade, and then we've got lastly the classic 0-4 or worse teams, 0-4, 0-5, 0-6, et cetera, are 56% against the spread the last 30 years. And that's better than the best professional bettors hit about 55, 55.5 if they're the best. So if you had just blindly played since 1989, about 30 years, you'd hit 56.2%. Now, there's no guarantee it's going to continue, but anytime you have a trend which is about public bias, usually that trend continues. Because some trends, like, oh, look, if a team plays three straight back-to-backs and then they have a game in Utah or Denver, right? There was a time in the NBA people were making killings playing under in the second half of Denver games after it was a back-to-back or on a back-to-back. Because the theory, and it was rightfully correct, is, okay, the opposing team is tired. They're not used to the altitude. Now in the second half, it's going to be worse. Game's going to slow way down. And, you know, a lot of money was made on that. But then finally it became public knowledge, and thus the market accounted for it. And thus there was no money to be made anymore. And same thing with the zigzag in the NBA, right? In the playoffs, you lose one, usually you come back better the next game. That's why you'll see a team win game one as a 7-point favorite in the NBA, and then the line is 6 in game two, which doesn't make sense. If the team won and covered in game one, you think, oh, they 7 was the baseline. They've proven themselves to be better. But the zigzag has proven otherwise, and the market knows it. But the market isn't the one driving, the intelligent market, these anti-public bias trends, but rather it's the public bias. And you can tell people, I can be on as many radio stations as I want, saying 0-4, 0-5, 0-6, et cetera, play the dog. And some people's going to listen, but a vast majority are going to play the favorite. And that's why those kind of trends tend to keep going even after they're known publicly.
Hey, RJ, I think the general perception is the Packers are a bad road team. And relative to their home splits, they are a bad road team. But I would also say at Minnesota seems to be an exception to the rule of the Packers being a bad road team, especially for Aaron Rodgers. The number seems smaller than it should be for an Aaron Rodgers-Case Keenum matchup, does it not?
No, I think the line should be about Pick'em. I think there's real value in the Vikings. Here's the way to think about it. And I do the dream preview with Steve Fezzik, who's the batter, and a bookmaker who's that the biggest bookmaker in Vegas, Matty Holt. And we were talking about this. We did a 2-hour, 20-minute podcast, so it was a deep dive this week. And we were talking about how to think about this Packer game. And one of the guys, I can't remember which, had a great point. They said, listen, look at Green Bay since 2012. They are slightly below 500 on the road straight up. But let's say 500 just to keep it simple. Okay, now, over all those years, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and now 17, you're going to have played a wide range of teams, some great, some horrible, some kind of good, the whole spectrum. And thus, if you're about break even, about 50%, that means if you play an average team at home, it should be pick 'em because you're going to win about half the time. If you play a below average team, maybe you should be a favorite because you win half the time against average teams, so you're going to win a little more against below average. And obviously, like against the Cowboys last week, it was, okay, Dallas is better than an average team, so let's make the line 2.5. That makes sense, right? So how good is Minnesota with Keenum? Can we really say they're a below-average team? That half the teams on a neutral would be favored over Minnesota?
I don't know, because we don't really know what they – I mean, with no Keenum or with no Bradford and no Dalvin Cook, we've only seen one game with no Dalvin Cook, and it's pretty clear their running game is not the same without him. I don't know what the Vikings are yet.
So we're at the point where Cook – I mean, what's the most – let's assume Cook is better than you think. How much do you think Cook is worth?
I mean, relative to Latavius Murray and what I saw from him last week?
Yeah, I mean, just be clear now. From the Vegas perspective, there's probably less than 10 non-quarterbacks in the league that are worth more than a half a point. So do you think Cook is one of the 10 most valuable players in the NFL that are non-quarterbacks?
No, I don't.
So let's call it half a point.
But I do think he's important to what that team was doing offensively for the first 5 weeks.
So does every starter look important that plays well? And then the next guy comes in and plays almost as well. There's not much difference, especially at running back. How many times have we seen...
For a team that's run heavy, I do think it makes a difference. And the Vikings are a run heavy team.
Well, it does if their backups are poor. But there's a difference between a guy coming in unexpectedly and having a whole week to prepare. And maybe you're right. Maybe the Vikings came in as a running team and said, we're going to have one running back, and after that, we're in trouble. But I don't think Zimmer's that kind of coach. So my gut feeling is they would have done something about it, you know, with a trade if they felt that badly about it, right? There's running backs to be had out there right now. So, you know, I'm not saying it's not a half a point, but I'm just saying it's the Aaron Rodgers premium, especially after what we saw last week. And when a guy as sharp as you, AJ, and I say that genuinely, and I love the way you think about the game differently, to be honest. I wouldn't want to piggyback your bets, quite frankly, but I don't want to piggyback many people's bets, but I want to hear your picks. Because I think you look at things differently, and that is so much more valuable than quite frankly, a guy like me. I'm a distillation of everyone I talk to. That's what I do best, right? I've got a few really original ideas myself, but 95% of what I'm sharing, I'm very good at asking the right questions from the guys that know, distilling it down and conveying it in an understandable way, sometimes maybe not. But for you, you think about things, excuse me, differently. And I love that. So for a guy as sharp as you to be saying, I'm scared to bet against Aaron Rodgers. What do you think a square's thinking right now?
And I'm not scared to bet against Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you are scared. I mean, not scared like you're going to run the other way, but you're fearful of losing your money because he's so good.
What I'm saying is, while Aaron Rodgers on the road is typically not as good as Aaron Rodgers at home, Aaron Rodgers in Minnesota over the last 5-6 years has been dominant.
So the five games, we have a new home field now, right? So
right.
I mean, not this year, but last year was new. So he's played one game in this stadium. It's the food in Minnesota.
What I'm saying is Aaron Rodgers feels comfortable against that Minnesota defense, wherever it is. At least that's what the last four or five matchups have said. I think he's like 10 touchdowns, one pick in the last three games.
Here's the paradox in the NFL. You never have enough games to be statistically significant when it's team against team, right? Because really you need hundreds of games to be truly statistically significant unless it's extreme, right? If it's like 22-0, that's significant even though you only have 22 games. But even something like 16-6 isn't statistically significant, right? And 5-0 isn't. If you just flip a coin, right, it's the first time, one, you know, second time's 4, third time's 8, 16, 32. 5 in a row is 32-1, right? Just flipping a coin. So that's okay. Not really statistically. So now the question is there logic behind it? And the only logic would be is what percentage of the Vikings defense, both schematically and player-wise, is the same as 5 years ago? So what year are we in with Zimmer, right? That's the soonest you could start. And now in the NFL, the turnovers, like 3 or 4 players a year, right, on defense. Yeah. So, listen, I get it. I want to search, you know, the signal and the noise is the debate, right? A guy, Nate Silver, a pretty famous political guy, wrote that book. How do you find the signal that tells you something within the noise? I think most NFL handicappers crave the signal, and I think oftentimes it's noise. And I fall into the same thing. It's just a matter of, you know, fighting it.
I know we're over a little bit, but I wanted to ask you once about the movement on the Falcons-Dolphins game. Opened at 9, now it's up to 13. What's causing that movement, and how often, without like a major injury or something, do you see a line move that much?
This is unusual, not so much because of the size of the move, though it is big. But remember, 9 through 13 is only going through one key number, 10. So going from 10.5 to 13 is pretty easy. You know, probably about the same as going from 3 to 3.5, really, a half point versus, you know, the 2.5 in that case because of the key numbers. And I'm talking from 10.5 to 13. Obviously, 9 to 10.5 is a heck of a move because 10's a key. It's sharp money. And I say typically you only see 3 or 4 games a year that it ends up ultimately being sharp money. You never know. If they say, wow, this seems like a perfect storm because of the Miami distraction with the snorting and et cetera. And, oh, let's get this baby steamed up and come in at 14 for 5X. Right, that's called dumming, D-U-M-M-Y-I-N-G, up a game. And if you look at the 60 Minutes that Billy Walters did about 5 years ago, he talks about that just very much in passing. But it really confirms that this is something that he's done for decades. And I have people that's worked with him that's talked to me about it. Is he'll see where is the public susceptible to jump on the bandwagon because the narrative is there. Oh, look how Miami's, you know, all messed up now. And if he likes the dog, he'll spend $200K. And again, Billy's out of commission right now, so it's not Billy. But a Sharp will spend $200K to move it, get that line moving from 9 to 10, let's say. And then the steam chaser say, uh-oh, it's a favorite. Let's get on it. And then, boom, at a certain point on Sunday, you'll see that baby crash. You can never know. Even the guys moving money for the syndicates don't know if it's a dummy or a real play. So you can never know.
All right, that's RJ Bell. And one thing you mentioned a little earlier is that you talk to a lot of people to compile your things. And I think that's important to remind people is I like to get as much information from people I respect as possible before I make any plays. And I always, that's why I love talking with you. I talk to AJ about stuff. I've got a couple other guys. I always bounce things off of them. It's important to compile as much information from sources you trust as possible.
It goes both ways, Fred. I mean, when we do our SB Nation show, we spend 10 minutes talking Houston because I want to hear your thoughts because you know so much more about the Texans than I do. So I agree. And that's why, quite frankly, and we don't talk about it much quickly, is up at the website, pregame.com, we have one of the more active forums on the gambling internet. And it's just a bunch of people throwing up plays, talking about games. And it really, once you figure out who to follow, which is pretty obvious, pretty quick, doesn't mean you bet them blind. It means it's just more good data. And that obviously that's all for free up in the forums.
All right. That's RJ Bell, pregame.com. Go check out the website. It's terrific. The Game Center is free and it's worth it. It gets you up to date on all the odds. RJ, great stuff. And I will talk to you Tuesday, my friend.
Thank you guys. Bye-bye.
All right. I got to tell you about Harry's. And how much I love Harry's because I get them mailed directly to me. I never have to go to the store to buy a razor again. And I get great razors. It's just such a great plan. I'm set up where my razors show up right when I'm about to run out. I always get new ones, and it works out great. So I don't even have to think about it. And for decades, there was a big razor company that relentlessly increased prices and reaped profits at the expense of their customers. And the Harry's guys hated that. So they started their own factory. And they sell directly to you over the internet. So they take less profit. You're paying half the price. Just $2 a blade compared to $4, $5, $6 you might pay if you go to the store. And Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle. 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade. Rich lathering shave gel. A travel blade cover. More than 3 million guys have made the switch to Harry's. You can be the next. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, a special offer just for the Blitzers. Go to Harry's.com right now. Enter code BLITZ at checkout to get a post-shave balm also free. That's Harry's.com. Code BLITZ.